After months of silence and behind-the-scenes effort, the former Mitsubishi plant issue took a big and public leap forward with the announcement of a potential purchase by Rivian Automotive, a tech startup focusing on sustainable mobility and transportation. The town of Normal has a proposed development agreement, including a $1 million grant and a 5-year tax abatement, on the agenda for a special Monday meeting. Other taxing bodies will take this up as well. Joining us to talk about the prospect is Town of Normal Mayor Chris Koos and Kyle Hamm, the CEO of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. Gentlemen, thank you for sitting for this interview.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Let's start with the hard questions. The easiest search on the web produces a negative article about Rivian from a political blog, thecapitalist.com, that labels Rivian as shady. The story is mainly focused, though, on a politician in Florida. How did you evaluate that story as part of your due diligence?
Well, Charlie, we knew about this a couple of months ago, and, you know, our first reaction was a little bit of alarm until we started digging into it and finding out what was going on. But just briefly, the money that Florida gave to Rivian was a competitive grant, and they won the grant. They fulfilled all the terms of the grant successfully. The state of Florida was happy with them. The article was really more about political infighting between two state senators in Florida.
What do you think the town taxpayers need to understand, then, about the article and its source?
Well, I think that what they need to understand is it's kind of been taken out of context that, you know, this company is underhanded. They've never been prosecuted for anything. Again, they fulfilled the terms of the grant. The state of Florida is happy with them. For the work that they did, this is one newspaper article that was certainly focused on a very competitive race.
Rivian said it would have a car in 2011. It said it would have a car in 2013. This is 2017. There is not yet a car, nor even a picture of one. The company has changed names twice. It took incentives in Florida from a local community. A 2011 NPR story indicated that they did want to build cars in Florida, but they're not in Florida. What makes this company a reasonable risk for Town of Normal taxpayers to give incentives to, $1 million and the tax abatements?
Well, there is a certain amount of risk with any startup operation, and capitalizing the manufacturing of an automobile is a pretty tall order. I think what people need to realize in terms of the incentive packages is there are no incentives without performance. There are performance standards set in place for the tax rebates each year, and they're analyzed each year. And it would likely, the earliest it would be year three before the financial incentive would be offered to them, and a significant goal that they must meet by that.
What do they have to get?
They have to have shown an investment of $20 million in the plant.
Before they get the money.
Exactly.
Kyle Hamm, the company doesn't have a current website, just archived material and cash. It has a non-active Twitter account. In fact, GLT has tweeted more in the last day about Rivian than Rivian has since the account was created. Employment estimates of the company as it is now are a little bit cloudy. There's a years-old estimate that puts it at about 30 people only. Tell us more about Rivian as it exists today and why you think it's a good bet.
Yeah, we've spent a great deal of time working with our partners at the state to vet this company. You take each one of the pieces you discussed and look at them individually. So for them to change the timelines for production, you see that all the time, whether it's they're rolling out the iPhone or announcing a new car coming out of Ford. Things change in those design and processes that make those timelines change. But from vetting this company, they have the financial wherewithal to proceed. And the mere fact that they're willing to consider making a substantial investment, not only to purchase this property, but the plans to invest in the building, and really, I think the key thing for us here locally is that the design of this proposal forces them to do work, make investment, hire people before they receive these incentives. And so really relatively low to no risk for this community at the onset. And as they start to invest literally millions of dollars, then they're eligible to receive those incentives. So from a startup standpoint, they've been around about 7 years. They have a talented management team. They'll be introduced to the community on Monday. And I think as people learn more directly from the company, it'll build that confidence. But, you know, I think the one thing I resonate to the community is the current owner is a liquidation company. And they've made it very clear that they don't plan to hold on to this plant for very long. And so this is a win for the community that the prospect of tearing that building down is something that hopefully we can avoid.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Kyle Hamm, the CEO of the EDC, and Mayor Chris Koos of Normal about the prospect of Rivian Automotive taking over the former Mitsubishi plant in Normal. What have area leaders done to vet the company? Make the public case about your due diligence, would you?
Sure. You know, every phase of due diligence involves understanding who their management team is, what their backgrounds are, doing checks on, you know, are these guys real? Do they have a real track record? What other companies did they work for? Looking at their financials. I've had some local bankers here help us vet their financials to make sure that their bank accounts say what they say they have. We've done extensive research with the state of Illinois on their history in Florida as well as Michigan, making sure that they're in good standing as a company. So it is an extensive due diligence process. It's been ongoing for 4 months. And they've provided a significant level of confidence at this point that this is a deal that we can move forward with. But again, I think we want to reiterate that the incentives that we're putting in place are much low risk for this community because they have to perform. And so the onus, I believe, is on Rivian to make sure that they perform and follow through with what they say they will before the community is put at risk.
You mentioned 7 years, yet they do not have a product. Why is that still a reasonable timeline?
I think if you look at the technology worlds, I mean, whether you're creating a new technology like an iPhone or a vehicle, these things take time. I mean, from prototypes, there's a lot, particularly in the automotive industry, there's a lot of federal regulations that they have to comply with for safety and other things. And so as people are designing new products, they have to comply with regulations. They have to make sure that they have a good entryway to the market. There is a lot of activity that goes, particularly in automotive, to ramp up to the place where you're ready to produce a vehicle.
Tesla started with a sports car. Now they've moved to other cars, and their Mark 3 will be a consumer family car. Rivian is allegedly going to start with a sports car, too. But they're way behind Tesla and some of the other established car companies that have already introduced or are introducing models in the next year or so. What makes a startup a good risk when the industry is already putting electric vehicles and sustainable vehicles out there in an increasing pace?
Well, I think the model's dramatically changing in the auto industry. It used to have just three big automakers, but now we're seeing a lot of unique, smaller, much more efficient automotive companies that are coming online. Tesla is certainly an example you can point to. But as we see new technologies evolve, we're going to start to see a lot more companies playing in this arena. And so I would say it's fair to not really box them into any one form and compare them to any one company, because as we see what they're doing rolled out over the next several months or next year, I think people will understand that this is a very unique opportunity.
So the argument runs that the automotive industry is really more like the craft beer industry a decade ago, where there are proliferating companies, or the automotive industry in the teens and 20s when there were lots of different makers.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect example. Is you're seeing lots of industries disrupted by new technologies and much smaller, leaner operations than the large, big-scale manufacturing.
Mayor Koos, $1 million is a lot of money to offer for the prospect of something, even if it does require $20 million in investment on the plant or in the plant before that money goes out. That's money that could be used on town infrastructure, affordable housing, on another amenity, soccer fields, or something else that is a clearly identified need in the community. What makes this purpose higher than everything else in the world?
Well, I wouldn't say it's higher than everything else in the world, but it's certainly an important incentive. I'd say the easiest answer to that is the scope of the possibility of 1,000 jobs coming into this community. And that's a very, very important element of this whole project. This is why we're involved in this project, is the promise of these jobs coming into the community. And they're good-paying jobs. Average salary is in the $52,000 range. That's a lot of economic activity that comes into your community. Plus, usually when car plants are online, you have suppliers that locate nearby, so that generates even more business in the community.
Is the community trying to make sure that those jobs actually are in the $52,000 to $53,000 range?
It's part of the redevelopment agreement.
Okay. Are there clawbacks to make sure the town ends up getting its money back if they put in the $20 million and still end up not making a go of it?
I don't think there's anything in the agreement that says that, but we're fairly confident that they're moving forward. There wouldn't be anything more to come of that if they missed on that. But a $20 million investment in the building, in the infrastructure of the building, the car line, whatever, I think if you've spent $20 million, you're pretty committed to a project.
Enlarge on that, too. What kind of investment? Could it be a new roof? Could it be, or does it have to be auto manufacturing
related? It has
related?
To be within the plant, upgrades to the plant, starting to build out their manufacturing infrastructure.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're speaking with Kyle Hamm of the EDC and Mayor Chris Koos of Normal. If the project comes to pass, it would benefit both Bloomington and Normal. The plant's in Normal, so Bloomington can participate in the tax abatement. But was Bloomington asked to participate in the cash grant or in any way?
We recently did ask Bloomington if they were interested in participating in this $1 million give, and I think they're taking that under consideration.
Why didn't you get an answer before the whole thing went public?
We didn't ask before the whole thing went public. We were under non-disclosure agreements with Rivian. We were the only people we were talking to were the taxing bodies, because that was the focus of the first step of this project. So we were pretty quiet in terms of asking Bloomington for participation.
But Bloomington is a key part of this. Why weren't they tied in with an NDL, non-disclosure part of it?
Because, Charlie, the plant's in Normal, and it's in Unit 5, and those are the parties that had to come together to make this agreement work.
Should they have some skin in the game?
I would think it would be nice for them to support the community in a regional sense, but you'd have to ask them that the question.
Have you received any early feedback from that recent ask?
I have.
And?
The story's not in yet, let's put it that way. There's not a yes or a no in the response. They're talking among themselves right now about that.
Kyle Hamm, let's talk about herding cats. How difficult was this to put together with all the constituencies involved?
Well, early on, when Mitsubishi closed, we had a lot of people involved, and really the first focus was on the employees that were leaving, making sure that they had a smooth transition, whether they were going to retire, whether they were looking for new job opportunities. We wanted to make sure that our local employees had all the resources necessary. So we worked closely with the state employment offices, the governor's office, and that was a central focal point. And the Chamber of Commerce, Charlie Moore, helped spearhead that effort. Our role at the EDC was from day one talking about what's next for this building and trying to find new users. I give tremendous amount of kudos to the town of Normal and McLean County. We've been really lockstep from day one on how we work together to interact with the state of Illinois, who again has been a great partner through this process. They've been there through all of our discussions. I've not shied away once, and you know, we've had opportunities that were close prior to this that we went through a significant amount of due diligence with, not just Rivian but other companies that didn't get across the finish line. But this deal is one that has gone the furthest, and we believe that we're right there. But you know, we've had a lot of folks locally involved, the state. It's just been a great partnership, and hopefully that's what we can convey when this thing is successful, that we pull together as a community, and we do what we need to do to get things done. And so it hasn't been a huge challenge in getting people to come to the table. And that includes our local legislators. Even both of our congressmen have been engaged, as well as Senator Durbin's office. So we from the highest levels all the way down to the local levels, when something was needed, people responded, and it's been a good venture for me.
What was needed from the congressional delegation in addition to the state lawmakers?
Well, congressional, you know, not necessarily anything directly, but knowing that we had their support, knowing that if we needed to, you know, mobilize, they were certainly there. You know, they were there to just offer support. And so that chapter is to be determined. You know, as we look at them getting into production, there's certainly a lot of safety and federal guidelines they'll have to follow, a lot of federal regulations through the EPA. And so being engaged with our congressmen very early on to understand where we're going will make that process easier as we move forward.
What is the state's piece of this? The news release from the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity was less than specific about the state's skin in the game.
State is still negotiating the terms of their incentives. And so I know that those will be coming in the not-so-distant future. We're just really not in a position to discuss that because they're still negotiating with Rivian. But, you know, having worked with Rivian and the state, I think Rivian has been very pleased with the state's willingness to try to get some things on the table. So we don't have an issue right now, but those things are still being negotiated.
You had remarked earlier that you did a lot of financial due diligence. Rivian would buy the plant for an as yet undisclosed sum. There are reports out of Michigan that it's spending close to $30 million and adding 174 jobs at a research complex in Livonia in the Detroit area. The company has operations in San Francisco that cost money. The hoped-for investment in Bloomington Normal is $175 million by 2024, according to DCEO. What can you tell us about the adequacy of Rivian's finances?
Yeah, I really can't disclose those publicly. I mean, they're a company that has raised private investment, but we have worked, as I mentioned, with some local banks here locally that have helped us understand their financials, but also the due diligence to make sure that the money that they say they have is true. And we have done that. And so we've used our local resources to help us vet that their financials are solid and that they're a company in good standing.
I would argue that as a matter of transparency and in seeking public money and public benefits from this, that they ought to be willing to disclose the source of their money.
I would understand that argument, but it's also, you know, some investors invest in opportunities that their intent is not to be disclosed, but also there's also some competitive advantages to not having your investors disclosed because they could be strategic in nature for the development of their product or the production.
Mayor Kuss, how much has your phone been ringing since this news broke?
Well, it's the 21st century, Charlie, and my texts have been off the charts. Lots of questions on Florida. Which I've been answering for people. Generally, the broad message I'm getting are people are excited and happy to see that car plant with the possibility of going back into operation.
The announcement came Thursday afternoon. There's a special council meeting in Normal on Monday to consider the potential development agreement. Is that sufficient time for the citizenry of Normal to get their heads around this, digest it, and give elected officials feedback?
I think it's plenty of time to do that. Again, any risk to the town in terms of a financial risk won't come for at least three years. So there'll be plenty of time for people to understand what we're doing here.
So what's the rush? Why not wait another meeting cycle at least to gather public input or even schedule public feedback?
Rivian's option on the plant expired December 1st, I think it was, and Maynard's has been quite clear that they're not going to extend the waiting time on that. So Rivian had to act quickly. And my understanding is they have a contract for sale and will close within 30 days.
RJ Scaringe is the 30-plus-year-old CEO of the startup company. In a 2011 story from NPR, he showed off what he called Rivian's launch vehicle, a sports car, a 2-plus-2 configuration with a 4-passenger vehicle set up with rear-wheel drive and mid-engine, a performance vehicle, aggressive in looks in terms of styling. Is that still what's on offer?
I think that they're evolving a multitude of types of products, and so I wouldn't just pin them down to one vehicle or something that they've been looking at in the past. I think they're looking at a portfolio of type of technologies and things that they can produce. And I think the good thing is RJ's going to be here Monday. He's going to present to the town of Normal. They're going to be able to ask any questions that they want of him. And I think rather than hearing it from us in the community, straight from the horse's mouth of the guy that runs the company, that's the brains behind the company that is young and innovative. He's got a tremendous background as a PhD from MIT. I think people will be excited to learn about him and what else he might bring to the community.
You've talked with him extensively?
We have talked. We have been on calls together. His chief operating officer, a guy named Jim Thomas, has been our direct point of contact. He has been here. He's probably been on the ground for possibly 2 months out of the last four. He has traveled here extensively. We've been in talks almost every day over those last 4 months. So we have had a lot of dialogue with multiple people within the Rivian staff, and we certainly welcome their CEO here.
Tell us more about him and them and their approach to things as we prepare to meet them next week.
I think what you're going to see is, you see a lot of young, talented people that are creating products these days, whether it's, the young folks from Google or Facebook, all these technology-based companies, that doesn't just transcend into, IT and internet. We're seeing young, talented people dabble in almost every industry at this point in time, and it's no different here in the automotive. So I think you're going to find a very young, innovative, aggressive, smart person that is going to be an asset for this community.
Kyle Hamm is the CEO of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. Chris Coos is the mayor of the town of Normal. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We eagerly await further developments on Rivian.
As do we.
I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Sound Ideas on GLT.